Welcome back to the program. Final segment of the night, final segment of the week. Special thanks to Rob Raines, Blake Topmeyer, Matt Whitener, Alex Sputterman, Jeff Gordon, Bob Nightingale, Shane Young, Clay Byersdorfer, and Brett Okamoto for joining us this week on the Bellman Automotive phone line. This NBA Summer League has been something else. The NBA might, and I stress the word might, slowly start taking over the NFL as far as the most popular talked about sport nationwide. I understand locally, no. Nationwide, yes. If you listen to any of the ESPN or Fox Sports Radio national shows, Mike and Mike, Colin Cowherd, any of them, they're talking about the NBA almost the entire time now. Free agency, the draft, the summer league with some with these new players like Lonzo Ball has been absolutely fantastic. Now, it is summer league. You got to take everything with a grain of salt.
Oh yeah, he says summer league.
It's summer league, but he's played well. He's playing more minutes than anybody else too. So you have to kind of factor that in. He's playing more than anybody else, so his stats should look better. But he looks like he belongs. Now the real test will come when the regular season starts. But you can't complain about how he's looking so far. But I can't remember, like, even last year, I don't remember this much interest in the Summer League. I knew people who were, like, huge basketball fans that were watching the Summer League, but they just love to watch basketball.
Jason Tatum, he's tearing it up right now.
Tatum is doing an outstanding job for the Boston Celtics, too.
Hometown
and I think that's what's going to start generating more interest in the NBA locally, is seeing more and more local kids playing.
I think there's someone told me a couple of days ago, is there 10 now?
Yeah,
altogether?
Yeah, there's 10 now altogether. You know, you have Jason Tatum, you have Bradley Beal, you have Ben McLemore. I think David Lee, he may still be playing. I don't know if he's still with San Antonio or not. But, I mean, you do have quite a few players in the St. Louis area that are in the NBA.
Which is awesome.
It is awesome. What was it? Tuesday night, I was in the gym, and I walked by this guy who was on one of the machines, and he had on a old Spirit of St. Louis t-shirt on. I mean, it was a new shirt, but it was the old Spirits of St. Louis. And I go, where did you get that shirt? I'm like, that t-shirt's awesome. And he goes, oh, you know, just go online. He's like, I bought it from some online store. And I'm like, man, that is amazing. And he, you know, told me some story about how, like, you know, back in the late 70s when his dad would take him to watch these Spirits games. And a lot of people don't know that's how Bob Costas got his break into broadcasting, was he was the play-by-play guy for the Spirits of St. Louis on KMOX.
Did not know that.
Yeah. There was a great 30 for 30 about the Spirits of St. Louis. It's about an hour long. I forgot what it's called, but it's really good. And I've always kind of wondered, how did Bob Costas, who's from New York, born and raised in New York, how did he end up in St. Louis? You know, I think he still has a place here. I don't think he lives here full time anymore,
no.
But he did for a long time. He lived here. And I'm like, why is Bob Costas living in St. Louis? As far as I can remember, he was never a Cardinals broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that 30 for 30, and they're like, yeah, he was the play-by-play guy for the St. Louis Spirits. And it's actually kind of a funny story, too, how he got it. He went to Syracuse. And if you're out here, if you're a kid and you're trying to get into broadcasting, there's basically three schools that you need to go to. Syracuse is one of them. The other one is Northwestern, and the other one is Mizzou. That's pretty much those three. You stick to those three, you're going to get into sports broadcasting. And he was at Syracuse, and his old college roommate got a PR job with the Spirits of St. Louis, and they were looking for a play-by-play guy. And he goes, hey, you know what? Who's great at play-by-play is my old roommate, Bob Costas. So he put in the good word for Bob, called Bob and said, hey, you need to give me a demo tape. Bob Costas did not have one put together.
Oh, geez.
So he just grabbed the tape recorder, went to a basketball game, and called the basketball game just talking into
the bleachers.
From the bleachers.
That's
just
awesome.
Stood there on the sideline.
That's awesome.
And called the basketball game talking into the tape recorder and then sent in the tape. And then his buddy who worked PR, he couldn't find any of the other demo tapes. The only one he could find was Bob's. So he only played Bob's.
That's
for
awesome.
For the guy who was in charge of hiring the play-by-play guy. So he hired him. And what was it? He said that he got to KMOX, and he met the great Jack Buck. And Jack Buck looked at him and he goes, I got leftovers that are older than you.
That's hilarious, Jack Buck.
There's so many great and funny Jack Buck stories. But
you think he'll get a 30 for 30?
Who, Jack Buck?
Yeah.
You know, maybe. I don't know. I mean,
national, right?
He did a lot of national stuff. He did a lot of baseball games and a lot of football games. He's got so many great calls, too. I mean, he's got the Bob Gibson one. I don't believe what I just saw. Actually, my favorite one, maybe see if you can pull this up on YouTube, Giamatti, as he was calling one a carry of Bo Jackson's. And he was talking about, like, you know, he's at the 10, he's at the 5, touchdown, he's no longer the field, he's out of the stadium, he's in his car. That is my favorite Jack Buck call, because it's just, you know, it wasn't a big moment or a big game, but it's just hysterically funny. Do you have it? 1 minute? Okay. Yeah, just like I said, it wasn't like a one of those sentimental moments like the Kirk Gibson home run, anything like that. It was just kind of like a funny line. I think that's the reason why it was my favorite. Do we have it? Can't find it? That's a bummer. That is disappointing because it is my favorite call. Absolute favorite call of Jack Buck's. And with Joe Buck, when he first got on the scene, I was ready to dislike him big time. Because I'm like, yeah, we all know how you got your job, dude. You got your job because you're Jack Buck's son. And I think Joe Buck is tremendous. I love Joe Buck. I don't understand all the hate in this city for Joe Buck. Anytime he talks good about some player, they think that he's, you know.
I was curious, what's all the hate for Joe Buck about? I was asking my dad that a couple days ago.
Does your dad hate Joe Buck?
No, he does.
Okay.
No.
The people I've talked to that hate Joe Buck, they think that he sucks up to too many players all the time. Like he gets, like he it always seems like he's kissing their butt, stuff like that. And I'm like, to me, it doesn't come across that way.
Mm-mm.
And say every team thinks that Joe Buck is against them. And Joe Buck has said that. He's like, yeah, every time I meet somebody, they're like, you know, why do you hate the Yankees? Why do you hate the Red Sox? Why do you always have to root against my team? He's like, I really don't care.
Yeah, he's doing his job. Like,
I really don't care one way or the other who wins. So I like it because it's good to see, I mean, a local guy make it big like that.
Huge.
And he loves St. Louis still. I can understand, like, if he, you know, is always kind of trashing the city. He's not. Look at the tweets he sent during
Rams relocation.
The whole Rams relocation where, I mean, he basically works. He doesn't work for the NFL. He works for a company that's partnering with the NFL, and it was completely trashing one of the owners on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. He had our
trashing him.
He had our backs for sure.
Big time. So I don't understand why people hate Joe Buck either. I never got it.
Do you think he's a little biased with the Cardinals a little bit, or do you think he tries to?
In fact, I think he tries to do the exact opposite. He tries to be a little. I think he tries to be a little harder on him so he doesn't appear to have a St. Louis bias. But the funny thing is that he always seems to kind of have – he'll always find a way to throw St. Louis in there, though. Like if someone was a former player
– he likes to roll that in there.
He'll throw it in there, yeah, which is what I love, too. It'll be like, you know, Adam Marcelletta, former Ram. You know, and the former St. Louis Ram. He'll always throw that in there. He'll always try to crowbar that in there, and I absolutely love that about that guy. And he's got some great stories, too. If there's someone that I could interview, it'd be Joe Buck.
Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't listen to the whole thing, but it was great from what I did. I listened to the majority of it when Tim and Joe Buck
that
did
was
that
really
live
good.
Q&A. That was great.
Yeah, he was on the Dan Le Batard show last week, and he was talking about how he was on vacation in Mexico, and he ate some pot brownies, and he ate too much, and he started to freak out. And he told that story. That was really good.
The edibles can take over a lot faster than when
he
smoke.
Said yes. That he Be said that he like he ate one brownie and he didn't feel anything. So he decided to eat another half and he goes and Levitar goes, that was
like
your
an
mistake.
Hour.
And
takes
he's like
an hour, yeah.
He was like, that was the mistake. He goes, an hour later, he goes, I was freaking out.
Yeah. He probably wasn't feeling it at that point.
And I thought that was kind of cool. That was kind of the cool thing for Joe Buck to admit. Some people kind of think that maybe he's a little too uptight or something like that. I don't think he's like that at all. I think the guy's awesome.
I don't see it, but I could see other people seeing it, if that makes any sense at all.
And I've heard he's a super nice guy when you meet him out in public, too. I've never met him, but I've heard other people say, yeah, I met Joe Buck, and he was awesome.
Definitely. Tell me from St. Louis, he might be a little nicer, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you saw him someplace in New York or something like that, and you told him you're from St. Louis, yeah, he'd probably, you know, pose for a couple of pictures sit down and maybe even have a beer with you. Now, I think he'd be fun. He'd be fun to have a beer with.
That'd be awesome.
I bet you he's got all kinds of stories.
That would be a treat right there.
I think that'd be hysterical.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have a beer with, him or Al Hrabowski? I think Al Hrabowski could be kind of fun to have a beer with, too.
That would be a
any
good
of those
one.
Old any of those old baseball players from the 70s. You know they got stories.
Oh my God, yeah.
You know they've got stories.
Some crazy ones too.
Yes.
I'd say Joe Buck probably.
Buck would be more fun.
Al would be awesome, but I'd probably pick Joe Buck.
I think that like someone like I think Tim McCarver would be kind of boring.
Yeah.
I think he would ramble on too much. I also think that. I don't think Ricky Horton. I think he'd be kind of boring, too. So you're talking about the Cardinal broadcast team. I think I'd rather go with Al Hrabowski. I think he'd be fun to have a beer with.